This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In a few minutes, what women don't know about what everyone else is getting paid. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It's April 15th, time to pay the government. No, not taxes. That deadline is Monday this year, but today is the day that big tobacco companies make their annual payments to state governments. These are part of a huge settlement reached back in 1998. That money was meant to fund anti-smoking campaigns and public health programs, but not all states have used the money as intended, as Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
The settlement agreements didn't stipulate where the payments would go, leaving states to use the windfall however they want. John Schachter with the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids says it's a big missed opportunity.
We're not asking for a ton of it to be spent on tobacco prevention and cessation, but certainly more than 2%. If they just spent a little more than that, they could fully fund these programs.
Worst off are about a dozen states and provinces that issued bonds with future payments as collateral. Marketplace and ProPublica collaborated on a story in 2014 that said states will have to pay far more than they made. But things have gotten worse because cigarette sales are shrinking, and therefore, so are the settlement payments.
About 4.5% a year.
Jim Estes teaches finance at Cal State San Bernardino.
That will not be sufficient to retire the bonds that they've issued.
Estes says that as early as 2024, some may miss their payments, triggering defaults. In the meantime, he says, about a dozen cities, counties, and states have begun taxing vaping and e-cigarettes as a way to raise revenue. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Last night's Democratic presidential debate became what some are calling the brawl in Brooklyn. One issue that came up, tax returns, something candidates don't have to release, but past contenders typically have done this. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein is here. What do we know about the tax returns for the Republicans and Democrats still in the running?
Less than we'd like to know, that's for sure. Secretary Clinton has faced a barrage of criticism for a lack of transparency. But when it comes to taxes, though, she's released more than any of the remaining candidates. And she pushed Senator Sanders on that point last night.
You can go to my website and see 8 years of tax returns, and I've released 30 years of tax returns.
Until this morning, David, Sanders has only released a summary of his 2014 federal tax return, though he must make other disclosures as a U.S. senator. Clinton's 2014 return is 44 pages long, giving us a much better handle on sources of income, donations, and deductions. During the debate last night, Senator Sanders said, after being asked, that he would follow suit.
I don't want to get anybody very excited. They are very boring tax returns.
All of this may force the hands of the three Republicans. According to the Tax History Project, Senator Cruz and Governor Kasich have only released summaries. Donald Trump, David, has released nada, arguing that's prudent since his filings are being audited by the IRS.
Now, it just sits there over by your TV, burning electricity and money. The cable or satellite box, most of us rent those things. The Obama administration today is pushing for a new standard that would allow third-party companies to compete for your cable box dollar. It's part of an initiative to spark competition in sections of the economy where it may be lacking. The White House says some people pay $1,000 over 4 years renting these TV boxes. Come to think of it, why am I even paying for that one in the guest room anyway? Women are typically paid 79% of what men make, but they may not know what's happening in their own workplace. A new survey finds that men are more likely than women to say they understand how pay is set in their workplace. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The survey is from the jobs and recruiting website Glassdoor. Glassdoor says majorities of men and women say they wish they had a better understanding of what fair pay is for their job. Pay transparency is especially important for women who may not know they're paid less than the men sitting next to them.
It really upset me.
Anne-Marie Duchon found out she was being paid less than an equally qualified male colleague at the University of Massachusetts. She was able to look up the salaries of her co-workers because they're state employees. Their salaries are public. Duchon complained to her boss, who told her,
This is how the world works, and that she had had this experience of being underpaid in her work environment.
Yep, Duchon's boss was a woman. It took 7 years, but eventually Duchon got an equity review. Now she's paid the same as that male colleague, but she says it would have been an even harder fight if she hadn't known his salary.
Seeing it in black and white is so much more difficult to challenge.
But the survey found 65% of U.S. men thought they had a good understanding of how pay is determined versus just 53% of women. Men were also more likely to say their employer shares pay information.
There's a clear theme.
Scott Dabrowski is Glassdoor's career trends analyst. He says it's not clear why more men think they were in the loop on pay.
Do men just have a perception that they do understand pay better than women? Or are women actually more realistic and perhaps men are being overly confident but not accurate?
The survey also found that U.S. men are more likely than women to say they'd anonymously share salary information, even though that information can help women, especially in court. Attorney Catherine Kimple specializes in gender discrimination lawsuits.
Sunshine does a lot to disinfect. So the only reason corporations are able to get away with underpaying their female employees is because they're able to do it in secret.
Kimple says pay transparency changes everything. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And a study finds people are clueless about emojis. Computer scientists at the University of Minnesota studied the little emotive faces inserted into text and found widespread confusion about meaning. I asked my colleagues this morning if I could use the winking one after typing a wry comment, and they were aghast, saying that would come off as creepy. I just tweeted a photo of my Los Angeles team making the emoji face I should use instead, which is as meta a use of social media as you're going to hear today. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.